chapter from the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 28, about that first Easter day when Jesus rose from the dead. Now, this isn't just a nice story that brings to an end an interesting chapter in the history of the world. This is something that really happened. It's a historical fact. So you read in your history books about people like Julius Caesar going off on their wars, coming across and landing in this country and conquering this country. You read about Napoleon, who tried to come across and conquer this country. You read about all the kings and queens of England. They all really lived. And the things that we read about them actually did happen. In just the same way that this morning you woke up and thought, oh, do I have to get up out of bed? That really happened, at least for some of you. And you actually got up this morning, you actually got dressed, you actually put your shoes on. You did all brush your teeth, didn't you? Good. Excellent. I'm glad about that. These things actually happened. You know they happened. Well, Jesus actually did rise from the dead. There are people today who say, oh, no, that couldn't happen. That doesn't happen to people. People don't go around rising from the dead. Well, that's true. People don't. But Jesus did. Because he was not just extra special. Jesus was God himself. He'd come to earth to live amongst us. He'd come for a special reason. As we saw on Friday, he came to die for us. His death wasn't the end. He rose from the dead. And within a matter of weeks of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, within probably less than a mile of where he was crucified and where he was buried, his disciples were standing up and they were preaching to crowds a little bit bigger than this and saying, he's risen from the dead. Now, if this was in fact just a story that wasn't true, all the people that were listening could have said, hey, just a minute. Give me 10 minutes. And they'd run off to the tomb. They'd look inside, if they could get the stone out of the way first. They'd look inside and say, what's this body here? And they go back and say, load of rubbish. There's the body. We can all go and have a look. 10p a time. I'll let you in and you can see the body's there. Load of nonsense. Didn't happen. Nobody did that. Nobody could produce the body. If you wanted to stop all this nonsense at the start, as nonsense as some people would see it, then all you've got to do is say, well, look, here's the body. This is the body of Jesus Christ. He's still dead. All this talk about the resurrection, rubbish. The trouble is, the grave was empty. There wasn't a body there. And the grave had had a guard on it. Roman soldiers were standing there to stop anybody getting in and stealing the body. And unfortunately, the Roman soldiers couldn't stop Jesus when he rose from the dead. They were terrified. And it says in here, the chapter that was read to us, they were so terrified when they saw the angel that moved the stone, they fell down from shock, I expect, as if they were dead. No, this isn't just a nice story. This actually did happen. Jesus Christ was killed and he rose from the dead and is alive now. Some people say, oh well, what happened was he didn't really die on the cross. That yes, he lost a bit of blood. Yes, they stuck nails through his hands and through his feet. Yes, they stuck a spear into his side. But he actually survived that. And so, in the tomb, after he'd slept for a bit, he woke up and thought, oh, I feel a bit stiff. So he jumped up, tossed the stone away, said boo to the guards, and then went to his disciples and said, look, here I am. Now, you'll have to ask Mrs. James the exact figure, but I think that it's probably 5 or 6 hours after you've cut your wrists, you die. Now, when they put the nails into Jesus' hands, they probably actually put them there to his wrists. Now, that would have severed both arteries. That means he'd have lost not just a little bit of blood, but an awful lot of blood. And when they came to take him down from the cross, they stuck a spear in his side and more blood came out. Now, anybody that can survive that must be a superhuman person. Jesus was dead when they took him off the cross, but 3 days later he was alive. Not only that, but he was fully alive. He wasn't staggering around saying, "Oh, I've just made it back." He said, "Here I am alive." This wasn't any myth, this wasn't any apparition, it wasn't a ghost, because they could touch him, they could handle him. He was a real person. He had come back to life. And he was, as a result of this, he completely transformed his disciples. His disciples began going around preaching this everywhere. And they said, "Jesus has been raised from the dead. We want you to believe it." And they went around the whole of the ancient world, and some of them were put to death. Some of them were killed because they were saying this. But still they kept on saying it. Now, when you read about what it was like before the resurrection, when some people said to Peter, "You're one of his disciples." "Oh, no, not me. No, I'm not with him." They were terrified. And a few days later, they were prepared to stand up in front of an enormous crowd, several thousand people, and say, "Jesus Christ, who you crucified, has been raised from the dead." The disciples were completely transformed, preached all over the world. This wasn't a myth. If it was a myth, if it didn't really happen, why were they so prepared to die for a lie? Someone said to you, "Hey, I've got this great idea. I've got this wonderful idea. I've got this story, I want you to go around telling people." They say, "Yeah, okay." So you go and start doing it. Then people say, "If you say any more about that, I'm going to stick a knife in you. I'm going to chop your head off. Even, I'm just going to put my fist on your nose." You say, "Oh, well, okay, I won't say any more." That's what you say, isn't it? You wouldn't want someone to come up and rearrange your face. Not nice. What it was like for the disciples. But they knew what they were saying is true. And so they carried on telling people, because they knew it was true. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is in some ways like what used to happen in the ancient world. And it usually happened when the general of an army had won a great victory. I wonder if anybody can tell me the name of a general that they can think of. I loved Isaac because he knows. Last few months you've been hearing the names of at least two generals on the television quite a lot. Can anybody tell me the name of one of them? One of them's an American with a German sounding name, and the other one's an Englishman with a French sounding name, just to be confusing. I'm still not going to ask Isaac, because we've been talking about this in the last few days, and so he knows, so it's too easy. One of them is General Sir Peter de la Billière. Looking faces over there. There's some blank looking faces over there as well. And the other one was General... I'll give you a clue. Lots of people are naming their dogs after him at the moment. There are lots of dogs called Norman. Schwarzkopf. General Norman Schwarzkopf. Yes, he was the leader of the Allied forces against Iraq. Now, if he'd have been living a few hundred years ago, what would have happened is this. He'd have come back from the war, and he'd have brought back all the booty, all the things that they had got, all the treasures that they'd collected from the enemy. They'd have brought back all the prisoners, and they'd have had a big parade, and they'd have walked down whatever street it would be in Washington or New York, and there'd be all the people there, all saying, "Hooray, he's won, tremendous." And he'd walk along, and he'd say, "Look, here are all the treasures I've got, here are all the captives I've taken, and here's all my army that I've safely brought back with me." They exhibited the fruits of war, their captured enemies, and the people that they'd freed. Now, they didn't quite free everybody that could be freed. There are still some people held hostage in that direction over in Lebanon. Mustn't forget them. A lot of people have forgotten them at the moment. But such a general would have come back, had this great big victory parade, and everybody would have thought, wonderful. Well, Jesus, when he rose from the dead, was like a victorious general. You know, well, just admit, he didn't have an army. He didn't fight a battle. So how can he have a victory parade? Well, that's because we think of battles and victories in terms of armies going out with guns and shooting each other. Jesus fought a battle when he died on the cross. He fought a battle against sin. He fought a battle against the devil. And he won. He defeated sin. He defeated the devil. And as a consequence, he was victorious and had a victory parade. Now, it wasn't the sort of victory parade that I just described. It wasn't one that you could see. It's only one you can read about. But it says in another part of the Bible, in another part of the New Testament, when the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, he said about the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ, he said, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. When Jesus Christ died, and when he rose from the dead, he took with him a host of captives. Those captives were people who had been in chains and who had been in bondage to sin. Not literal chains, you can't see them hanging from people's arms. But these people are bound by sin. People have wicked hearts. And people are bound by sin in their wicked hearts. And they need to be freed from them. And by his death on the cross and by his resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ can break those chains and free people. And so he can lead a host of captives and bring them to freedom. This shows him to be the loving shepherd that you've memorized that verse about. A good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep so that he can free them from all the evil things that lurk in their hearts. The Lord Jesus Christ was victorious over sin, over death, over the devil. He conquered them, although the devil thought he'd won when Jesus was put to death. In fact, it wasn't the devil winning, it was Jesus winning. Even in dying, Jesus was victorious. We have this great victory. But the other thing about the resurrection, it's not just it's Jesus' victory parade, it also proves that what he did on the cross was accepted by God. Now, when you read in the Old Testament about the priest who went in with the sacrifices, they killed a lamb, they took its blood, and they took it in to the temple. And they had to present this blood to God to show that an animal had been killed. And in that way, God could overlook the sins of the people. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died, he didn't offer a lamb as a sacrifice, he offered himself. And he took his own blood and presented it to God. And because of that, sins can be forgiven. But with regard to the priest going to the temple, everybody waited to see the priest coming back out again. And when the priest came out, they thought, God's accepted the sacrifice. Well, if Jesus in dying was the sacrifice and offering himself, then how can we know that the sacrifice has been accepted? It's because he's come back again. He took the sacrifice within himself into death. Then he rose from the dead. And in rising from the dead, he proves that the sacrifice was accepted. So God has accepted what Jesus has done. And now if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can know that God has forgiven us. It proves also who he is. Because he said many times, I am the Son of God. Many people didn't believe it, but he said, I will be put to death and 3 days later I'll rise again. And he was. All these things about the resurrection prove many things about the Lord Jesus Christ. Many things we need to know. Many things we need to believe. The wickedness in our hearts, yours and mine, all of us, we all have wicked hearts. Those wicked hearts and the sins that we commit because of that separate us from God. In fact, it doesn't just separate us from God, it makes us God's enemies. We're on the wrong side. We're fighting against God because we enjoy sin. We ignore God and don't want anything to do with him. We want to get on and do things our way. Jesus comes along, having been raised from the dead, and makes us an offer. He doesn't just offer us a ceasefire. He doesn't just offer us a cessation of hostilities. He offers us to completely surrender and join his side. To change sides so that he can become our shepherd, to care for us, to look after us, and to do all the things that we need to do us good. If we do that, we will be on the winning side. We'll be on God's side. And we'll no longer have wicked hearts. We'll have clean hearts. We'll no longer be dominated by sin and all the naughty things we do. We all do naughty things, don't we? And all your mums and dads will be sitting there nodding their heads saying yes. Then what were they like when they were little boys and girls? They'd say, well, yes, we were naughty like you are as well. So we'll no longer be dominated by all the evil and wicked and naughty things that we do that are called sin. We won't anymore have to carry about with us guilt, because when we do things wrong, usually we know they're wrong and we feel guilty. We don't need to carry that around with us anymore. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll take away our sins. He'll take away our guilt because he'll forgive us. And then we'll have no fears about the future. We won't have to worry about death. We will know God. God will be our friend. And the Lord Jesus Christ will walk with us all the days of our life. And we will enjoy him. And we will enjoy doing what is right. And we'll even hate doing what is wrong. So what the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to know today, not just the children, but everybody, is that you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to surrender the whole of your life to him, and to do exactly what he tells you. And if you do that, you will know peace. You will know joy in your heart. You will know the forgiveness of your sins. No more guilt. And you will know joy unspeakable. You will know what it is. You will understand and know what we talk about when we tell you that it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian.